Daf Yud Gimel. So Rav Yosef brings down a pasuk talking about Gog u'Magog, the war that's going to come down at Mashiach, and we compare it to Bnei Yisrael, that when a person is miraculously saved from a wolf, he goes around telling everyone that he was saved from a wolf. Then a few days later, he's miraculously saved from a lion, he goes around talking only about the lion, and then a few days later, he's miraculously saved by a snake, and he's only going to talk about that. And so too, by us, we forget about our older, more historic previous trials and tribulations, and our gulluses and things like that, and we only remember the more recent ones. So Hashem changed Avram's name to Avraham because Avram is just Av to Aram, a father to his nation, but Avraham is an Av to the entire world. Also, similarly, Sarai was changed to Sarah because Sarai seemingly sounds like a princess for one nation, but Sarah is a princess of the world. Bar Kafra says that if you call Avraham Avram, you violate a positive commandment. And Rebbe Lazar says that actually if you call him Avram, you violate a negative commandment, a lotase. So what about if we call Sarah Sarai? No, the pasuk says only Avram was commanded to call her Sarah. Obviously, we all call her Sarah, but only Avram would be doing something wrong by calling her Sarai. What about calling Yaakov Yaakov? No, we don't have a problem there because the Torah itself calls Yaakov. It says Yaakov's name all the time. So Yossi Bar Oven brings down the pasuk that we say every day at the evening of Atah Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta BeAvram, saying Avram. We said, no, that's fine because that's just a Navi who's praising Hashem going through previous occurrences and he's going chronologically. So therefore, at the time that he was talking about Avram, he said Avram. Hadron Alach Mei Masai Shkarech to everyone that has completed the first perek. So the Mishnah says that if you're reading Shema in the Torah and the time comes for Kriyat Shema, if you had Kavana for Kriyat Shema, then you'd be Yotzei. Rabbi Meir says that if you're between paragraphs of Shema, then you can greet people out of honor, that you honor, and you can answer their greetings. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, then you can greet someone who you fear, and you can answer them. Rabbi Yehuda says a little different. He says that if you're in the middle of the actual paragraph, you're saying it, then you can greet someone out of fear, and you can respond, though, for honor. And if you're between the paragraphs, you can greet someone out of honor, and you can even answer everyone. So he said, what's considered between the paragraphs? The first bracha to the second bracha to Shema, Shema to Vehafta, Vehafta to Vehaya, Vehaya to Vayomer, Vayomer to Vyatsiv. And Rav Yehuda actually says that there's no break between Vayomer and Vyatsiv. That's not considered between the paragraphs. Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha says, why was Shema and Vehafta, why do we say that before Vehaya? Because in Vehafta we're accepting Hashem, in Vehaya we accept the mitzvos, we have to accept Hashem before we can accept the mitzvos. So why is Vehaya before Vayomer? Because Vehaya is applicable both by night and day, but Vayomer, which is largely talking about tzitzis, is only applicable at night. So the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, which says that if you have Kavana to be Yotzei, then you're going to be Yotzei, this seems to show, for Kriyat Shema, this seems to show that mitzvos need Kavana. It's a long-standing machlokas in all of Shas, over mitzvos tzrichos Kavana, or mitzvos ain't tzrichos Kavana, this seems to say that mitzvos do need Kavana. I said, no, this is just that you have Kavana to read. So what do you mean you have Kavana to read? You're already reading it. So what does that mean he decided to read? I said, no, he was looking through it to correct it, but now he consciously decided that he was going to read it out loud for Kriyat Shema. So Rebbe says that you can only say Kriyat Shema the way it's written, in the language that it's written, but the Chum say that you could say Kriyat Shema in any language. So Rebbe's learning that because it says V'hayu, teaching it the way that it's actually written, but the Chum say that Shema teaches that any language that you can hear. So what does Rebbe do with Shema? He says that Shema teaches that you have to be able to hear what you say to be Yotzei. The Chum say that you don't even have to hear what you say. Even if it's inaudible, you will still be Yotzei. And what do the Chum do with the word V'hayu? This teaches that the paragraphs have to be in order. And Rebbe learns that the paragraphs have to be in order because instead of saying Vayu Dvarim, it said Vayu Hadvarim. And the fact that it said Hadvarim, it said Dvarim teaches that. But the Chum say, no, that's too much of a stretch for us. We don't learn Dvarim, Hadvarim, it's all the same. So this seems to imply logically that Rebbe would say that the entire Torah can be in any language. And that's why we need a specific pasuk by Shema to teach that Shema can't. Because otherwise it would just be obvious that. So it seems that Rebbe would hold that the whole Torah can be in any language, and Shema is singled out that it can't. We're saying, no, it says V'hayu, we need a special pasuk of V'hayu and Shema, because you might think that it can be in any language because of the word Shema. So vice versa, also by the Chachamim, you might think that the entire Torah has to be the way it's written, and that's why we need a special pasuk for Shema to teach that even though the entire Torah has to be the way it's written, Shema is allowed to be in any language. And they say similarly, no, and he says Shema because you might have thought that it can only be in the language that it's written because of the word V'hayu. So Belezer says that V'hayu teaches that you can't read the paragraphs out of order. And in talking about Kavana, he says that you might have thought they need Kavana for the entire first paragraph, but you really only need it up until Hadrima Eila Alavavchem. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, you actually need Kavana for the entire first paragraph. And Rabbi Barbar Chana says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Lacha follows Rabbi Akiva, that all of V'hafta needs kavana. But some actually teach the halacha of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as agreeing with someone else. That we bring down a brisa that says you need kavana for Shema. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only need kavana for the first paragraph. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha accords with Rabbi Yehuda. We bring down a brisa that says, again, Vahayu has to teaches that everything has to be in order. And Rav Zutra says that you only need kavana until Alva Vecha. And then after that, it's just a mitzvah to read. Meaning for the first paragraph, up until Alav Avecha, you need kavana. And after that, it's just a mitzvah to read it. You don't need to have kavana. But Rabbi Yoshia says the opposite. That until Alav Avecha, it's a mitzvah to read. And after Alav Avecha, for the rest of Shema, you need kavana. So what's Rav Zutra's reasoning? Because in the second paragraph, it says Ledaber Bum, which sounds like it's just talking about reading. But in the first paragraph, it also says Vidibarta Bum, which is talking about reading. It says no. The first paragraph is a mitzvah of both of kavana and kriya. For kavana and to read it, but the second is just a mitzvah of reading. Because in the first one it says, Alav Avecha and Vidibar Tabam, teaching that you need both aspects of kriya and kavana. But the second one also says, Alav Avecha and Vidibar Tabam, teaching that you need both aspects. And so he said, no, Alav Avecha of Alav Avchem in the second paragraph of Vehaya teaches for Bietzrak that your tefillin shal yad have to be by your heart. So what's Rabbi Yoshia's reasoning? Because it says Alav Avecha in the second paragraph of Vahaya teaching you need Kavana. But the first paragraph also says Alav Avecha. And so we said, no, the first needs both Kavana and Kriya. But the second paragraph only needs Kavana without Kriya. Meaning, as long as you have Kavana for Vahaya, you could say it silently. And the reason for that is because the first paragraph of Vahafta says Alav Avecha and Vidibarta Bam, teaching that needs both aspects. But the second paragraph also says Alav Avchem and Ledaber Bam, teaching that it should need both aspects. So it said, no, when it says in Vahaya, Alav Avchem and Ledaber Bam, that's talking about Torah, that you should teach your son Torah so that they can study and learn on their own. Rameir says you only need Kavana for Shema Yisrael, the first sentence. Rava says, yes, Allah is like Rameir. Then we have a brisa that Sumchus used to say that if you would say a longer Echad, you'll have a long life. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that you have to say the Dalid long, you have to elongate the Dalid. And when you're saying it, Rav Ashi says, and you also can't rush through the Ches. So Bchia bar Avin and Rabbi Yirmiyah were sitting together, and he started saying a really, really long kriyashma, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Bchia bar Avin, you don't need to say a long kriyashma, you just have to have kavana, that Hashem rules everything. Rabbi Yehuda would say Alav Avecha standing, so it's not just those two words, but up until Alav Avecha, he would say standing. Rav Yochanan would say the entire paragraph standing, and the reason for that he would say Alav Avecha standing, is because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you need kavana for Alav Avecha. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi used to only say Shema Yisrael, that first sentence, as Kriya Shema. And Rav said to Rav Chia, he said, I've never seen Rabbi Yehuda Anasi say Kriya Shema. And Rav Chia says, yeah, when he covers his face with his hand for a second, that's when he's saying Kriya Shema. So we asked the question, would he go back and say Kriya Shema again, or was that all that it was after he's finished with Shir? So Bar Kaffer says, no, he wouldn't go back. And Rav Shimon, in the name of Rebbe, said, yeah, he would go back and say it. So Bar Kaffer says, my opinion makes more sense, because that's the reason that every single day Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would finish Shir talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, because he wanted to be Yotzei so that he wouldn't have to say it again. But according to you, why would he every day make a point of saying Yetzias Mitzrayim if he was just going to say Kriya Shema all over again and get the mitzvah of thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Rav Shimon says that he did that because it was the time for Kriya Shema and he wanted to be Yotzei the mitzvah in its time. But nonetheless, he would still repeat Kriya Shema later. So Rav would say Shema Yisrael, the first sentence, and then he'd fall asleep. Rav Nachman told his servant to keep him awake for the first sentence, and then after that, it's not such a big deal. Rav Yosef asked Rav Yosef Bar Rabba, what would your father do? And Rav Yosef Bar Rabba said that my father, Rabba, would stay awake for the first pasuk, and after that, he wouldn't, you know, push himself. Rav Yosef says that you can't say Shema lying on your back. But this seems to imply that only for Kriya Shema you can't be on your back, but you can sleep on your back. We know that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would curse anyone who slept on his back. So we say, no, for sleeping, it's okay to lean on your side. But we're coming to teach that for Kriya Shema, you can't say it leaning on your side. But Rabbi Yochanan would say Kriya Shema lying on his side. So no, Rabbi Yochanan, he was a heavy set guy, he was a big guy, it was hard for him to fully get up, so this was good enough. So the Mishnah was talking about when you're allowed to answer someone. So our mayor said that you could greet someone for kavod. If you're in between paragraphs, you could greet someone for honor and you can answer them. But obviously, if you could greet them, you can answer them. So he said, no. What's our mayor saying? That you could greet someone who you honor and you can answer anyone. And the end of the Mishnah, which is talking about when you're actually in the middle of the paragraph, is saying that you could greet someone who you fear and you can answer them. But again, if you could greet them, it's obvious that you can answer them. So he said you could greet someone for fear when you're in the middle of the paragraphs, and you can answer them out of kavod, who you honor. But then this is exactly the same as Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you're in the middle of the paragraph, you could greet someone who you fear and you can answer someone who you respect. And if you're in between the paragraphs, you could greet someone who you respect, you have kavod to, and you can answer anyone. So it's the exact same thing. So what's the argument? So really, this is what the Mishnah means. Rameir is saying that if you're in between the paragraphs, you could greet someone who you honor, and obviously you can answer someone who you show respect to. You could greet them for kavod, and obviously you can answer them for kavod too. And if you're in the middle of the actual paragraph, you could greet for yira, for fear, and obviously you can answer someone out of fear as well. Yehuda is saying that in the middle, you could greet someone who you fear, and you can answer them if you have honor for them. But if you're in between paragraphs, you could greet someone who you respect, and you can answer anyone. And we have a braisa that says the same thing. The Rameir is saying that if you're between the paragraphs, you can greet someone who you honor, and obviously you can answer them who you honor. And if you're in the middle of the actual paragraph, you can only greet someone out of fear, and obviously you can answer someone out of fear. And Yehuda says if you're in the middle of the paragraph, you could greet someone who you fear, and you can answer someone who you respect. And if you're between the paragraphs, you could greet someone who you respect, and you can answer anyone. Shkayach.